Well, that's the free market. I mentioned before that the attacks on the on labor during the Reagan years were criminal, as they were. I guess there's not really time to talk about this, so I won't go into it. It's true, but it's misleading. Because in fact, there has been a huge attack ever since the Wagner Act. The Wagner Act drove business berserk. They thought they had the country by the throat. Woodrow Wilson's Red Scare smashed up the unions, you know, threw the leading union leader, Eugene Debs, into jail for daring to raise some questions about the Second World War as a free country, remember. Independent thought, you know, independent action, labor movement was completely smashed. Looked like business really had everything under control. Then along came the Depression, and you had labor organizing and activism and so on and so forth. And finally along came the Wagner Act, which brought to the United States the tech theoretical, the law, the benefits that were part of it had been achieved in Europe about half century before. In fact, U.S. labor history is extremely violent, incomparably more so than Europe. What you saw there is nothing. I remember seeing much worse things when I was a kid and growing up in Philadelphia. And before that, it was hundreds of workers were getting murdered by the security forces. This went on in the late 1930s. Nothing like it in Europe. In fact, the right-wing European press was appalled by the treatment of American workers right through the early part of the century. This is a business-run society, and it shows. In 1935, the Wagner Act was passed, finally. Business went out of their minds. National Association of Manufacturers literature warned about what they called the hazard facing industrialists due to the rising political power of the masses. Unless we redirect their thinking, we're going to be headed to adversity. They started right off with a big campaign, you know, scientific methods of strike breaking, all kind of social science frauds about harmony and stuff like that. It was kind of put on hold for a while during the war, picked up right afterwards with an extraordinary campaign of corporate propaganda. It's not studied much. In fact, the first academic study of it just came out. This is one of the most important things in modern American history. Literally, the first book just came out by University of Illinois Press a couple months ago, another one in Australia. And in fact, there is an Australian scholar who's been writing about this for years. I've been writing about it mainly using his work, I should say. But an American study finally came out, and it's pretty interesting. Right after the Second World War, the business community, the country was social democratic, very social democratic at that time, and they knew it. And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story. Now, they said that we have 3 to 5 years to resell our preferred way of life. And they went after it with a vengeance. Anti-union campaigns, anti-unionism was the idea was, as they put it, to sell anti-unionism as anti-American. Huge campaigns were undertaken, the sort of, you know, we versus them. There's us as the, you know, the sober working man and the housewife and the corporate executive slaving away for everyone's benefit. And they are those outsiders, the strikers, who are coming to try to disrupt their harmony. There was huge business about this. At that time, there was a vigorous labor press. The one-dimensional press of American society is fairly recent. There were about 800 labor newspapers back in the 1950s with tens of millions of people reading them. They were condemning the corporate media, as they put it, for damning labor at every opportunity while carefully glossing over the sins of the banking and industrial magnates who really control the nation. That had to be destroyed, of course. And the reason is that truth is subversive, it's anti-American, and has to be eliminated, and it was destroyed with a tremendous power play. This covered everything from the entertainment industry to the corporate media to the schools and so on. Billions of dollars a year were devoted to this, taking over schools, churches, recreational activities, anything you can think about. The corporate media, of course, are right in the center of it. The films were quite important, commercial films as well as propaganda films. propaganda films were reaching 20 to 30, business propaganda was reaching 20 to 30 million people a year in the early 50s. Business was providing about a third of all school materials. This was not a small thing. On top of that, there's the whole commercial industry, like, you know, the standard depiction of unions in the movies is sort of Marlon Brando on the waterfront, you know, tough working class Joe stands up against union bosses, and you know, because that's and unions, in fact, were portrayed as something that the workers have to fight against, just as people have to be liberated to leave New York. Workers had to be freed from the oppression of the unions, and a huge amount of energy and effort was put into this. It was pretty successful.